Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is going to be a very interesting and, again, another controversial topic. And I like talking about these things, and I like talking and receiving the feedback that I receive from individuals as these topics come about. Now, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me and waking me up this morning, because Lord knows I'm getting better with my health because I've been getting me some beauty rest. So with that being said, we're going to be talking about workplace dating. Now, today's show is designed to address the views of individuals as it relates to dating within the workplace. In some countries, such behavior is banned, and I found that it's banned in China, and in the United States, there are consequences as well as not only in the military, but also in large companies, because people can get in trouble for fraternization. It becomes abuse of power. And it was interesting, I was telling my daughter when I was thinking about this topic, I remembered the movie Boomerang, which is one of my favorite movies, when Eddie Murphy played Marcus and he slept with Lady Eloise and thought that she had something to do with the business. And that was real funny to me. So, but when we talk about these things, when I was doing my research, I found that in the United States, around 40% of individuals admitted to once dating a coworker. And in the UK, it's actually 70%. Now, with many individuals that are young entering the workplace for the first time, do they really understand the laws and workplace policies as it relates to such behavior? Or is the workplace starting to look like high school, when you first go to high school and you start seeing somebody you like? So I'm going to join my intern Amy on the air, and she's going to help me with this topic. Good afternoon, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. You know what? I am feeling so much better now that I'm learning how to love on me and get me some rest. But this morning it was still hard for me to for my feet to hit the floor. But after a while, I was able to do it. And now my phone wants to start blowing up off the hook. I don't know why people want to call me at exactly 12 o'clock or a little bit after while I'm on the air, but that's okay. So today's topic, Amy, is going to be real interesting because I was getting a lot of feedback from individuals as I was running this topic by them. Now, tell the listeners who you are, and then we're going to get started with this show.
I'm Amy, and I'm Jeanette's intern, just finishing my master's in social work from USC.
Okay. Amy, as we're talking, I'm still posting a lot of stuff because I was doing some video because, you know, when I'm in Oceanside, I can always go next door, and they help me do my recording sometimes. So I'm still putting a lot of this information out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we got a whole lot of other stuff we still got to do. So, but I do like sharing this information with other individuals. So excuse me if it sounds like I'm kind of off in the wind somewhere because I'm still trying to post information. Now, Amy, when we talk about workplace dating, and I know you work with me, and sometimes I'm by myself, so we ain't really got that issue here. But tell me your perception in regards, because there's an age difference between you and I, and tell me your interpretation of workplace dating.
Well, when I think of workplace dating, I think when automatically my mind goes to like the an individual dating their boss. That's where my mind goes. But it can be between coworkers. It doesn't just have to be the boss, but that's where my mind goes straight to.
Wow. And you know what? And it's interesting because when we start talking about these things, I remember we used to say it's not who you know, it's who you blow. And that was something they used to, you know, we used to say back when I was younger and people were starting in the workplace, and we would see individuals getting favors or chumming up with the boss. But sometimes it's not even as, you know, going to the ball. Sometimes it can happen on different types of levels when we're talking about dating. And what came to my mind is, now first I want to say, I've never dated anybody I work with because, first of all, I don't want to see nobody like that every day, all the day, all the time, getting on my nerve. I don't think I can handle that. And then it seems like they'd be all up in your business, and it seems like it causes way too much drama for me. I recall when I was young and I was driving a school bus, I had a man, and he was older than me, perhaps old enough to be my father. Girl, he used to leave me food on my bus, flowers on my bus. He was so attached to me, and I always viewed him as a father figure because I had mad respect for him. But I was like, ain't no way I'm going to be dating somebody that works for the school district along with me. But I had respect for him. Now, if I would have been, say, somebody else or whatever the case may be, somebody probably would have jumped on that. And plus the man was married, which was another reason why I wouldn't have did no mess like that. But sometimes in the workplace, things can get really, really, really messy. It's like being in high school. And, you know, Amy, when I was talking to quite a few people, I learned some things that came about, and we're going to be giving the listeners some information in regards to how to handle these types of situations and what to do. But I learned when you spend long hours with people and, you know, you get the bonding with individuals, and especially if you are with someone and you work in a hazardous or a stressful job, I was told that that can also make a big difference. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that when you mix dating relationships in the workplace, some people find that comforting. Like, they can keep tabs on another individual when they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, codependency comes into play when that happens. But I think it starts to affect the relationship outside of work as well. You know, you're on top of each other
mm-hmm.
all the time. I don't mm-hmm. think it matters how much you know them.
Correct. Correct. You know, and it's interesting because I remember when Keith came to California and he was coming to my office every day, and it was fine. I mean, I enjoyed his company. I enjoyed him being here. But then when he was here every day, all day, we getting up in the morning, going to work, coming back, I was like, oh, my God, I ain't no way I could do this. You know, I couldn't see myself dating someone that I work with, because it's like you see them 24/7. And some individuals go into business together. Some individuals, you know, it may work for some, but then yet sometimes it can create its challenges. Now, if you want to share or you want to discuss this topic with us, give us a call at 516-387-1914. Because, Amy, a lot of individuals may not even know how to handle these types of situations. And especially if they're young. You know, I'm thinking of people working at McDonald's or some lower-level entry jobs, but then you also find it in the corporate world, too, where individuals date one another and things of that nature.
I agree. I mean, yeah. We've had a couple clients come in, and their relationships often on the rocks because they don't know how mm-hmm. to balance work relationships and outside work because they have a no talking at work policy, which is hard because
mm-hmm.
you want to come home, and just because they don't work together in the job, they still are next to each other and near each other, and they see each other, you know, they eat lunch together, whatever it is, and they have no work policy. That's where you, like, come home, how was your day, da 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 da, and that can be, you know, a weight on a relationship. There's no boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the boundaries?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amy, because we can break this show into a lot of different parts. We can break it into just things that are happening on the within the workplace. We can talk about, and you know, and it's crazy because when I was typing up the episode this morning, girl, why my whole thing just disappeared? I had a lot of information. I was like, what if the information person is married? What about flirting? And if it's unwarranted, how do you even go about it if you're attracted to someone? Because, and I've always said that no one can help who they are attracted to yet. Should they act on it? And what happened if the relationship goes bad, which would be one of my concerns? And the fact that there's different types of relationships. And a lot of individuals may not know the difference. And I also want to explore the laws and policies as it relates to consequences regarding such behaviors. Because I know in the military, individuals can get in trouble for fraternization, especially if they're dating outside of their rank. You know, they don't mind it if they are on the same pay grade or within the same pay scale, but you can't, an officer is not supposed to be dating a PFC or a private because it can also lead to abuse of power. And then not only that, what about the other employees that are working there when they're seeing all of this stuff going on? And boundaries are so important. You don't want to be seeing nobody kissing in the lunchroom and holding hands, and you know, because is it, or do you think it's even professional, Amy?
I think it often turns into unprofessionalness when you are dating in the workplace. It's hard not to, especially if you're young, I think it's hard to know, to have those boundaries or emotions, put your emotions on the line, you know, disconnect from work and relationships. And I think that comes with experience and age and maturity. So I think it often does become unprofessional.
Correct. Now, I have some information, and it talks about how to handle dating in the workplace. Now, it seems like the HR professionals with dating in the workplace can be a tricky topic. It's a problematic intersection between protecting employees from sexual harassment and remaining respectful and avoiding overbearing rules. Now, we talk about, you know, policies. Some places have what's called an employee handbook. So they do orientations. They say these things. They share with their work, with their employees. But the problem is when people's hormones get to kicking in and they get to looking at Joe Blow looking over there, or this woman is wearing this skirt or this dress, and, you know, they take it to a whole nother level. Now, can employers regulate workplace romance? Sometimes, Amy, people try to keep it a secret. And employers can kind of tell the way they're looking at one another. You know, let's say if they are responsible for actually doing their performance evaluations, are they going to be fair? Are they going to be fighting when they go home? Is it going to carry over from what's going on at home into the workplace? Now, employers can regulate workplace romance by implementing a formal relationship policy. Now, most HR professionals advise against prohibiting dating in the workplace, and some places have a strict zero-tolerance policies, and it can cause frustration at best or encourage employees to leave at worst. Now, they did some studies on this, Amy, and one of the things they found out was the best way to regulate office romance was to establish guidelines and procedures. Having a formal process in place helps keep staff safe from harassment and other potential hazards of dating in the workplace. One of the things they said was encourage transparency. Now, if two employees start dating, ask that they notify their managers. Being open and honest should be the first step to establishing a workplace romance policy. Once leadership is aware of the relationship, they can ensure both employees abide by the company's rule. Another thing they talk about, and we mentioned, Amy, was maintaining professional behavior. It's hard in high school to maintain it, and you know a lot of times they carry that type of behavior into their adult life. Now, employees who engage in inter-office relationships need to remember that they are at work. This entails refraining from public displays of affection, flirting, and other dating behaviors while in the office. It's important to act professionally in the work environment. And Amy, that was the biggest issue that I had when he was out here, because I would be like, and the clients would be looking at him, and he looking at me, and then he get mad at the clients get mad at him. I'm like, oh, my God. So when he went and found a job somewhere else, it was like, great. I appreciated him driving me to and from work, but them long hours, oh, they were getting real taxing. What is your comment? And we talked a little bit about that, but what about maintaining professional behavior?
I can never maintain professional behavior is the best way to say it. I think that my emotions would get involved. You know, I would carry my relationship with me to work. Like, when I go to work, that's work. But if I get there and I'm in a fight with my significant other and he's there, then it's going to cause some damage. I'm not going to be able to do my job.
And, you know, and then sometimes it becomes a competition thing, too. And it can definitely get out of control. Another one is defining sexual harassment. All workplace romance policies need to address sexual harassment. As an HR manager, this is one of the biggest concerns about dating in the workplace, because it can get totally out of hand. I mean, it's one thing when you're dating. It's a whole other issue when you're living together with that person. Now, with that, It's your job to keep safe, keep people safe, including your staff. You want to make sure your policy identifies the signs of sexual harassment and how to deal with conflict. And so if they then started dating and now they married and now they going through a divorce and now, you know, the job don't need to be knowing all of that. Now, some organizations are even using anonymous harassment reporting apps to stop bad behavior. The organizations are realizing that the investment in hotlines is simply not generating the returns they need to protect them from the significant financial and reputational risk that comes with the behavior-based incident. So, you know, like I said, it can get out of control. Sometimes attending regular seminars can help. And it also indicates, can an employee be fired for dating a coworker? That right there, Amy, can cause a big problem, because if the company's written policies prohibited workplace romance, management can terminate an employee who is found breaking these rules. So then my question becomes, is it even worth it? Any comments?
I mean, I think people will overlook that rule and think they can outsmart it, or that this is it, you know, this is the one that's going to work. And they have these rules for a reason. There's reasons mm-hmm. that people have implemented these things, because they know how it works out, or, you know, more likely will work out. So I think that I don't think it's a good idea. If you can avoid the situation, then avoid it. But there's also people that date and are like, oh, he's going to get another job, or I'm going to get another job.
Mm-hmm.
But how long? How long do you wait?
You know what, Amy, and I've seen that. And the problem is, too, let's say once you start, even when you're flirting and you're going to your other coworkers, you say, you know what, I like him, or I like her, or I want to take her out, or, you know, you spend in happy hours together and company parties and all of this stuff, and you started dating them, and then you leave the work, you know what's going on at work because you worked with them before. It seemed like it could become a problem. I remember watching the movie Obsession, and that was another one of my favorite movies with Beyonce, and I can't think of the other guy that plays in the movie, but he had this thing with dating the temps, and he married Beyonce in the movie, and then here come another temp that was obsessed with him, and even though he didn't fall for her, she made their life a living hell, because that was what she would do. She would go from place to place dating people that she worked with. Now, is dating a coworker illegal? Companies outside of California have the right to implement a no fraternization policy, which prohibits coworkers dating. If an employee is caught in the office, in an office romance, they could get fired on the spot. Although workplace relationships are a common trend, employees need to refer to their company policies before dating a coworker. So I want to let people know out there, you know what, before you start doing that, make sure that you're not getting in trouble with sexual harassment. They got the Me Too movement. They got all these different things now, Amy, that is going on. So if you are at work, please know your policy. It's not worth losing your job, and you don't want to get arrested or accused of sexual harassment or flirting with someone, because it can take and go into a whole different level. Now, whether it should be banned, whether it should be, you know, I think it's very difficult to regulate adults' behaviors when it comes to things like that. Now, Amy, what are some of the other areas or concerns? Because I'm looking through some information in regards to, you know, when we start talking about laws and people always trying to break a rule, when we start talking about things of that nature, I'm looking at even we talk about ethics and advice. You know, even being a therapist, do you know that there have been therapists who have went to jail or got in trouble for having relationships, even with clients? That can definitely be an issue. You know, so you just got to be careful, know your rules, know your policies, know your laws. Now, Amy, I found some information, and it talks about, and this is on a blog. It says, last week at happy hours after work, I was chatting with my fund controller about dating in the workplace. He told me that Americans need to wake up with coworkers, which surprises me a little bit, because workplace romance is mostly banned in China, especially in large companies. Among different countries and cultural backgrounds, dating in the workplace varies a lot. Like I said earlier, They found that 40% of people in the U.S. admitted that they have dated their coworker, and at this rate, it rises 70% in the U.K. Now, either the high or low ratio only indicates the magnitude of dating in the workplace, but what people should be more concerned about are the effects of workplace romance. And, Amy, that's one of the things that I know we see and I know I see a lot, especially as I do marriage family counseling, is or working with couples, is some incidents where there are some concerns in regards to employees hanging out with each other, boundaries being blurred, you know, the relationship being questionable, and that can cause a lot of problems. Let's talk about that a little bit, Amy, from a therapeutic perspective.
I think, are you talking about just outside of work?
When people are dating, and let's say how it affects them or can affect their relationship that they're in with someone else. Because let me say this first, because I have mentioned that there's two types of relationships. One of them is called a lateral romance. The lateral romance, there is less likely to have a conflict of interest if people date with peers who have different projects from them. However, there will be ethical issues related to the productivity and equality of their work. On the other hand, now, the job productivity can be negatively affected by the romance because of long lunches, extended discussions behind closed doors, missed meetings, late arrivals, early departures, and errors being made. This kind of situation, it is harder for dating people to perform the best of their company, or competence, and ability at work, which results in lack due to care. Now, on the other hand, workplace romance may have an impact on the employee's motivation. If one has an argument with another that they're dating and cannot resolve the problem before coming to work, they will extend their hostility and displeasure to the workplace since they still see each other in the office, which is one of the things that we talked about. So you got the lateral, meaning that they are basically on the same pay grade, and then you have the other one, which talks about the hierarchy, where one may be the boss or one may be the supervisor. And then you got the imbalance of power to where a person feels like you put me down while I'm at work, but then when we go home, it's a whole different type of level. So those are the two different levels and position when individuals date, and both of them can have negative consequences. Now, if you had a relationship that was successful and you want to share, give us a call, 516-387-1914. Amy, any other comments?
I just think when you date in the workplace, there's just a flood of emotions. And it's hard,
mm-hmm.
especially when, you know, you get past the honeymoon stage, you know, where it's all fun and games and it becomes real life. Yeah, you're going to feel a ton of feelings at work. You're going to carry those feelings with you to work, and it's going to take a lot of self-discipline to learn not, you know, to be able to divide yourself from work and emotions. And if it's
mm-hmm.
your boss, you know, people subconsciously sometimes do things that, you know, if they're hurt by somebody, they're going to do something. And if it doesn't work out, that's when, you know, sexual harassment charges, I think, sometimes get put into play because
mm-hmm.
they subconsciously are mad at that person or can't divide those emotions.
Mm-hmm. You know, Amy, it was interesting, and I mean, you haven't been exposed to this yet, but I know you had it with the client, but when we have to get ready to hire some individuals, because we are going to have to do that very, very soon, I remember a while ago, it was me, my daughter, and Lisa, and we were interviewing a gentleman. Girl, that man tried to flirt with all three of us one at a time. And we was looking at him like, do he really think he got it going on like that? Do he really think that this is going to get him in the door because we are females? You know, a lot of times that is something that individuals will try to use, too, is their charm. They'll try to flirt to try to get a position, and boundaries are so important. So you know, we have to be mindful of that, especially as, you know, if you own a company or you're a supervisor or you are a person in leadership, you have to check your own emotions and, you know, you're having an interest in someone else outside the workplace. You're going to put that in check because that is definitely crossing boundaries. So get ready for the interviews, Amy, because people will definitely try to charm you. Because we were sitting there like, did he just say that? Did he just? Each one of us. By the time we got finished, we was like, wait a minute. And Lisa had a bad habit of calling people a sucker. She was like, that sucker, you know. So those are some of the things that you will also go through. Now, legal issues, we also talked about the ethical, but you also have legal issues. You know, there's a chain of command issue. There's when we're talking about the policy to not to have policies. Those are things that could come up. And love don't cost a thing until it costs too much. Anyone in a high-level position is held to a much higher standard than other employees, regardless of what your company policies say and no matter how consensual, because, see, Amy, we can look at when a person consent or when it's non-consensual. So no matter how consensual the relationship may seem, if the relationship goes south, chances are your company will conduct a quick cost-benefit analysis and determine that it is less costly sometimes to get rid of that person than to keep the other person. As a result, if you decide to enter into a dating relationship in the workplace, recognize the impact your conduct may have on your company and your professional future. And also know, Amy, what's called the bottom line. So know the rules. Know what's going on. Be aware of these things. And don't, you know, and I know people want to be loved and people want to, you know, they feel that they're compatible. They feel that they have something to share. They can talk about and things of that nature. But you really have to be careful with boundaries, Amy. I can't speak too much. I mean, not enough on boundaries.
I think boundaries are huge. You know, we can't. That's one of those things that I learned. You can't assume people know. It's
correct.
Something that needs to be discussed and then placed and clarified. Just like HR rules or dating in the workplace, like all those things you can't assume people know.
Mm-hmm. And, Amy, you would think that they do, but they don't. They really don't. Because they'll say, oh, I was just flirting. Oh, I was just – I remember back when my mother was working, where she was working, my mother didn't have this thing, and the last guy she was dating before she passed, she dated him in the workplace. And I remember her telling me that he was dating at least – 7 different women. Her day was Monday night, and other women had other nights. And I was like, why? Why would you date somebody you work with? And he wound up having to live with her because my mother messed up the rules and made it to where he got kicked out of the other person's house, and he became homeless and wound up living with her. You know, and they all worked together. And even though they changed, you know, my mother changed her working hours, they still worked for the same company. And I was like, to me, I was like, that is just so tacky. But that was just my perception of it. And I know other people have their own, but I sure want to hear what you got to say. Now, Amy, we're talking about this. I want to know what you think about should individual employees be banned from dating? Because we know it's going to be hard. We know people go sneak. We know people do these things. But should it really even be banned? And then I'm going to share some information that I just found that's coming from cultureengineer.com, and it has something to do with some information that they asked when they interviewed individuals in the Huffington Post. So you think it should be banned?
I don't think it should be banned because I think it can work out, and maybe they're not going to be in that position forever. I just think it needs to be discussed, and there needs to be rules in place. Like, papers filled out, like, a lot of places can't ban it because people will still do it. You know, we can't, adults think they know all the rules and are smarter than other individuals. That's why I think that communication has to be in place. What do you think?
Well, you know, Amy, I think that with the Her to Me movements and the Me Too movements and all these different things. I'm looking at some information, and it indicates that traditionally a company's policy is designed to keep balance of power between employees as individuals and the company as a whole, defining the good versus the bad conduct and consequences that are associated with the bad. But can policies apply to conduct outside of work, such as romantic relationships? They took a quick glance at the statute in California, and it's a labor code 96K. And then Colorado also have something, Louisiana, New York, and North Dakota. And such a policy seems useless in preventing workplace romances from developing. Local governments within these states have similar statutes and rules prohibiting employers from taking adverse actions on an employee for off-duty, off-company premises conduct, so long as the conduct is lawful. Looking deeper, however, interpretation of these statutes is narrow when it comes to office romance, failing to recognize the romantic activity as protected recreational activity. So while non-fraternization policies may cause some gray areas to surface within a company, the good news is, when challenged, they're being upheld. But a word of caution, be specific, because a broad non-fraternization policy may constitute as interfering with employees' right to engage in concerted activities protected by the National Labor Relations Act. These rulings have not been so favorable for employers. So, Amy, you know what? That makes it real hard now for employers to even, you know, look at this because, you know, they're saying it's not favorable, I'm sorry, for employers. But then the employer have to deal with the other stuff that comes along with that because, like I said, when you get an abuse of power, you get the emotions, you get the breakups, you get all of that drama. Who got time for that drama? And even though we start talking about the non-fraternization, but then now we got the what's called the new sexual harassment laws. And, I mean, I know we would be guessing because we don't know all the stats, but if we were to look at how many of these cases go bad and then wind up being a sexual harassment or, you know, someone's being charged, I would really like to know how that would look. Amy, are you there?
I'm there. Sorry. I was talking to the mute button. I don't know how it would look. I can't see a successful workplace relationship working out without a lot of hurdles. You know, like it's going to take, I feel like it's going to add multiple barriers and obstacles to a relationship. And relationships are already hard work.
Mhm. And they are. They really are. You know, Amy, I'm looking at some information, and it indicates a 27-year-old professional woman basically tells the story of how one of her superiors, a flirty married man with children, who, after overhearing a previous comment she made to a female coworker about buying a new dress, sent her a late-night email from his personal account telling her he couldn't wait to see her in that dress. You know, and he said, "I'm sure you'll look amazing in it," he wrote. The woman responded that she didn't appreciate him sending an email like that to her work account. And he claimed it was a mistake and half apologized. Later, he sent her an IM that she felt was completely inappropriate. She remembers telling her coworkers she would have to block him. So if individuals can't handle their emotions, Amy, and the one thing that's coming to my mind is rejection. You know, a lot of times when we talk about workplace dating, what if the other person is not very reciprocal of you or even don't even want to be with you? Is that person going to feel embarrassed or want to leave their job? Is it going to turn into a domestic violence incident, a stalking incident? See, so many different things can happen. You know, and I mean, I believe that there is somebody for everybody, but why practice at work is my question. Why wait till you get to work? You know, and I mean, there's dating hotlines and people go online and they do all this stuff. People meet in the church, and sometimes even dating in the church can be a mess too, Amy, let alone in the workplace. If you want to see stuff get funky as a poop, try dating in the church. that's a whole other topic of discussion.
Exactly. And then when you break up or it doesn't work out or there's barriers, there's just so much tension there. You can't leave it. Like, you have to go to work. You can't avoid it, you know? Like, when you break up, you kind of want nothing to do with that person. And I'm sorry, but they're going to be at your workplace.
You know, as you're seeing it, I've got my eyes closed, and I'm picturing Wendy Williams. And Wendy Williams allegedly went through a lot of stuff. And I believe her husband plays a part of her show. Or is one of the, I don't know exactly what he does, so I don't want to misquote, but I believe he's like one of the executive producers. He do something. Something he does, I know, for her show. And even though they are going through a divorce or, you know, perhaps, you know, not getting along, he has a lot to do with her show. So that right there, I'll be like, uh-uh. But you know what? It could be good if it's good, but when it go bad, that's a problem. That is definitely a problem to me. Now, I have some other information, Amy, and even though we're talking about these things, and it talks about word of wisdom on dating in the workplace, and when we start talking about wisdom and emotions, the two just do not coincide with one another. And the question then becomes, is it really worth the risk? Because dating in the workplace can be fraught with danger. Objectively navigating the normal dating world can be hard enough, but it gets a lot more complicated for couples that work together. And, you know, we already talked about, imagine if a boss dates a subordinate. Can the boss fairly evaluate the performance of this employee? What if the relationship breaks down? Will the boss treat the employee fairly thereafter? And is there a possibility of sexual harassment claims down the line? Those are all factors to consider before engaging in a workplace situation. And even talking about dating a coworker. And I talked about a survey before that was done, but here's information in regards to stats. But in 2017, they did another sample of 809 full-time coworkers across the industries in the company size of the U.S. private sectors, and 30% of workers reported dating a coworker. 22% of the workers have dated someone who was their boss at the time, with 30% of those saying they dated someone who was at a higher level in the organization. You know, Amy, not only even thinking about just Wendy Williams, I was watching something on TV, and Kamala Harris, the one that's running for president, one of the guys that is in politics admitted that he dated her before. And I'm like, even though I don't know if they worked together or what the story was, and let's not forget Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. What about that, Amy?
What about it? What part?
Did you know that they used to be connected to? I think she was his teacher or professor or something. She was talking about that in her book. She spoke on at the Essence event. And she was speaking about
that.
I think she was.
I had a high school teacher that ended up marrying one of his students after she graduated.
Wow.
It's just things like that. It's kind of weird to think about, but I mean, he was a young teacher, and they waited till after she graduated, but there's still that connection there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can, Michelle and Barack Obama, it happened with them too. And, you know, and that's a positive story. Like I said, everything don't have to be negative, but it does happen. You know, like I said, we got the workplace romance, you know, we got the affairs, you got the coworkers, the risk, the career, you know, the attraction, can it turn into love, you got people flirting, you got the secrets, sexual harassment, you know, unprofessional behavior, the loyalty, you know, you got individuals talking about whether your dress code, it's so much stuff. And like I said, we talked a little about the ethical issues, and I don't want to keep bringing it up over and over and over again, but you also got to remember, too, how did you wind up in that situation? You know, was it because of the long work hours? Do you feel that because that person understands you, or that you feel that you have more in common with this person because you work together? Or is it also, Amy, a relationship for convenience? Because that's a whole other issue. And it's because some people do things just because.
I think that's important factors, I think, why you're in that. And that's a good point. I think people forget that. And I think codependency is, like I said earlier, you know, being able to, like, oh, I can keep tabs on them, or we get to spend all this time together because we work so much, and da-da-da-da-da, but it just becomes, like, an extra weight, an unnecessary weight on a relationship, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And like I said, and it can affect other individuals. Now, I have some other information, and it talks about 5 rules, if you choose to do it, to dating in the workplace. And one, we got to remember how to separate business from pleasure. Meaning, even though we know that not all workplace romance are ideals, but certainly some are more complicated than others, but if you find yourself in this situation with a coworker, there's 5 rules that can be implemented for a successful workplace dating. And like I said, separate business from pleasure. Once you enter the doors of your workplace, your partner should become your coworker and nothing more. Pay attention to and act like a couple at work, as this can be distracting and causes your peers to feel uncomfortable. Shut out all relationship matters until the moment you both leave work, and forget the fact that you had a fight that morning, that you can't wait to sleep together again, etc. Don't bring stress from home into the workplace, but also don't bring stress from the workplace into your home. This requires some discipline, but disassociating these 2 elements will benefit both your love and your job. And, Amy, individuals have to do that don't even live or together, I mean, even work together. They got to learn how to separate business from pleasure. Another one is use your connection to your advantage. You will feel more comfortable around your significant other than other peers, of course. Use the spark that already exists if you basically want to excel at work. Meaning, if you are already excelling, you're getting along very well, you know exactly what your partner is good at and what they may have trouble with. Aid each other in projects and tasks, from reminding your partner by reminding them of deadlines to giving them ideas about presentations. This doesn't mean that you'll perform your partner's work, but you should support each other inside the office just as much as you do outside of it. Amy, what do you think about that, the support of one another?
It just reminds me about what you said about how it can turn into a competition. And I think that happens a lot. And it, you know, if you're in the same job position, then, yeah, I think it's going to be hard to, you know, motivate somebody to be, you know, to encourage them. I think it takes a lot of self-discipline, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you know what? I didn't see it as a competition at first. Other people started telling me, because I would say one thing, he'll turn around and say something different, or he would try to make it seem as if I didn't know what I was talking about. And I was like, is he trying to challenge me? And then other people were like, Jeanette, you know. But I believe that we worked very well as a team because we would play off of each other, and we were very effective with helping a lot of individuals. But by that same token, it seemed like a power struggle between the two. And I was like, uh-oh, this could be a problem.
That can happen even with, like, working with friends. You know, it doesn't have to just be emotional relationship. Like, you can get really competitive and compete with somebody else.
Correct. And that is definitely true, because that's just like, even, you know, with you and I tell the clients, whatever you say, go. I don't, you know, minimize another person's authority. If they said something, if they're running a group, then you're the one running the group, you know, and that can also happen. People do get into that competition. Now, also in a dating relationship, don't volunteer information. Once your relationship becomes serious, you'll have to be open and honest with your superiors, but as much as your boss will love to know the truth, your peers don't really have to know anything. Your private life is just that, yours and private. You don't need to brag to all the ladies around the office or about how handsome that person is, or, you know, he don't have to say things about that's my girl. You know, because that right there, when you start divulging too much information, it can become a hot mess. Any comments in regards to that, Amy? Because I think that's where a lot of problems occur, too, if they start divulging a lot of information.
Oh, yeah, I think that's huge. It's like you just, it's like carrying your relationship to work and your work home. There's no boundaries. You're going to start sharing information without even thinking about it. Or sharing it to the wrong person, you know, about somebody in the job place. There's filters, you know. You got to think before we speak. You could ruin somebody's job or their, I don't like their career choice or placement just by saying one wrong thing.
And the last one, it says set up a plan B. As much as you both may be in love today, there's no telling what tomorrow can bring. You and your partner need to be on the same page in case your relationship ends, meaning you cannot expect to quit your job just because you broke up, come to terms with how you would handle the separation if it ever comes to that. And if you feel it's necessary, you can even write up an agreement and sign it to ensure that you both will stick to your promises. Because, again, workplace dating can be tricky, to say the least, but love will find a way. And as it is often, and two people who genuinely fit each other should stay together no matter their employment, they should consider the rules above to fulfill their career with their partner and their own joy. Because, like I said, you don't want to cause memory. You don't want to, problems, strife, anger, resentment. It becomes too much. It really becomes too much. And like I said, me personally, I just basically stay away from it because I ain't got time for that. That's just my own personal opinion when it comes to things of that nature, because I know that I get in trouble for being friendly with people. And if I had a husband that I was working with and my personality, girl, you'll stay mad at me. That would definitely cause a problem in my home, and I know it would. Now, Amy,
it comes down to, like, self-checking, you know? You got to self-reflect and see what's important to you and how you would handle a situation, both if it, you know, was successful or if it failed. And it's okay to have a plan in case it does fail. It doesn't mean you're being negative. It means you're being realistic.
Correct. And that is true, Amy. That is so true. But a lot of times individuals can take it like that. It's like having divorce papers before you, right, if you just got married. It's like, dang, why are you showing me this? Well, you know this is what it says. Now, I had given some information about some tips in regards to the first 5 tips. Now I have 10 more tips for dating someone in the workplace if you are doing it. And, again, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, give me a call, 516-387-1914. And in regards to the 10 tips for dating someone in the workplace, again, individuals have polled friends on Facebook, Twitter for advice on dating coworkers. And Amy and I was talking to individuals that are in law enforcement and individuals that had jobs where they had professional careers. And a lot of them was like, you know what, this is a problem at our job. You know, we do see this. But, again, a lot of individuals do not know how to handle it or what to do. Because, again, you cannot help who you are attracted to, but it doesn't mean you have to act on it. And if individuals are already struggling with their emotions, that can get out of control. And like I said, the military have their own rules, but trust and believe, there's so much going on with fraternizations and affairs and people dating people that are coworkers, so it's a mess. Now, even when they polled individuals and they found, again, an overwhelming majority of responses, and individuals said, don't do it. But it seems like everyone has a cautionary tale of a relationship in the workplace that went terribly, terribly wrong. And dating a coworker, a boss, or colleague can be or lead to unbearable awkwardness, tarnished professional reputation, and even job loss. Now, some of the things that they said, Amy, was don't treat work as extended quality time, which, again, that was something that we talked about with the long lunch breaks, the small talk, things of that nature. You also want to make sure that you don't send flirty text messages to each other throughout the day. Don't go to lunch together every day because people start watching that. And if one of you manage the others, just don't date, period. Don't date or sleep with your boss or subordinate. It puts both of you in an awkward and fireable position, and things like sexual harassment gets too easy to claim. And if you really think this might be the love of your life, consider leaving your job before you start that relationship. If you're just a fling, and after that, you know what, just be careful with that. Also, be wary of keeping secrets. A few months after a person had indicated that they thought that they had this little fling with their coworker, they really weren't fooling anyone. And they were mortified because the secret got out. Another thing is, once a relationship go public to the necessary parties, ASAP, you got to come up with a plan. And that's one, go to human resources. Let them know so it won't become a problem, and have a breakup contingency plan and make out in the elevator. Secretly making out in elevators at work and then stopping the second you get to the floor is a fantasy for everyone, Amy. That's a whole other issue. Nobody want to be coming in there and seeing you drop it like it's hot, or you got this funny smell on you, or whatever the case may be. So that's another issue that comes about when people are dating in the workplace. And also the last one, maybe just go for it. Individuals know it's smarter not to do it, and you may know what you're risking, but if you're still tempted to hook up with that cute coworker, people do it. They say you only live once, but a person says they met their wife at work 22 years ago, and it was working out. But again, Amy, we got to remember that it don't work for everyone. And I think that the age plays a part in that too, Amy. What do you think about that in regards to when individuals are doing it in their teens versus in their 20s versus in their 30s versus in their 50s? What do you think about that?
I think it also plays, like, what their career is. Like, if you're working at McDonald's in the teenage years and you're hooking up with a coworker, it's less damaging than you're in a career choice, like a long-term, you know, unless that is your long-term career. But I think that age does play a difference in it, and I think that's why we can't ban it completely, is because people want what they can't have. So if you're really that tempted, just be cautious of the possible outcomes and think before you act.
I like what you said, Amy. You said people want what they cannot have. And you know what? And that is so, so true. And, you know, and even, you know, I've known husbands to say, you know what, I know my wife is trying to lose some weight. She's going to the gym. You know, she got this new partner at work, or, you know, this person is working with her, or they go and they, or the husband goes to pick his wife up from work and she's not there, and she's flirty and smiling all the time with the new coworker. It becomes a hot mess. And people's insecurities and jealousies and stuff start kicking in. What is a person to do, Amy, if they suspect that, because, you know, there's a difference between being married versus being single, and, you know, people got all kind of little stuff going on nowadays. But let's talk about those that are in a committed relationship and they feel that their spouse or whomever is attracted to someone at work. What are they to do?
I think the first thing to do is ask them. You know, if you're suspected of something, we don't want to accuse anyone, but using the I statements, like, I just feel like you've been a little bit distant lately. Is there something going on at work? I just feel like this girl might be interested in you, or whatever it may be. But that's one thing I've learned, is to just ask first, you know, and then there's no reason to investigate, because you're going to find something that leads to what you're looking for. So I think it starts with that communication, and then, you know, self-reflect. If you feel like your partner's kind of being distant, then what are you not giving them in the relationship? You know, is it something that you've been distracted with?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And that's interesting too, Amy, because a lot of times the communication breaks down, and that is a problem. And individuals don't know how to handle that, and the other person, and sometimes, because, like I said, people start sharing intimate details about what's going on in their personal life, and then the other person starts thinking, well, if he was my guy, or if she was with me, I wouldn't do this, and they start seeking comfort. And so you have to learn to be honest. You really have to be honest with the other person. So that definitely becomes an issue. Definitely become an issue. I'm sitting up here looking at a text message. Girl, people are texting me now about appointments, and it seems like everybody still want to go to Fullerton, Amy. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I'm just like, ugh. It's crazy. It's crazy because as the phone is ringing, I'm pressing the button. I can't talk right now. I can't talk right now. I'm currently live on the radio, and, you know, they're sending me text messages. I want to come to the Fullerton office. I want to come to the Fullerton office. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, Amy, therapeutically, let's talk about some of the things that individuals will seek counseling for in these type of situations, because we know, first of all, individuals can go through what's called relationship anxiety. And with the relationship anxiety, they can have anxiety and they could be, you know, dealing with different things in regards to different emotions that occur when we're talking about workplace dating as they have relationship anxiety, which is one. Individuals can deal with depression, which is another one, because sometimes they can be in a depressed mood if they're having or things are not going very well in a relationship. What are some of the other things that bring individuals to therapy or couples counseling when it comes to workplace dating?
Just that they don't feel like they're getting enough time with their partner, even though they spend so much time with their partner. I think that they tend to forget the boundaries. So I know a couple of times we've had a couple of clients come in, and they're having issues because they see their partner at work every day, but when they're home from work, you know, they're hanging out with their friends and whatever else because they're not getting that intimate connection. That one-on-one time.
Correct, because they're so busy talking about what is going on at work, they kind of lose place or lose track on what to do or what's going on at home and home stuff. You know, as we're talking, Amy, and I had indicated earlier about a contract and how to write this contract up, and it talks about, because it sounded kind of odd to me, you know, we have contracts for zero tolerance in regards to hitting and being disrespectful. I never thought about a contract for workplace dating and how to write a relationship contract. And they have some examples. And it indicates what is a relationship contract. And a relationship contract is a document that gets written up and signed by usually two people with intimate relationship. But in truth, the contract is a catalyst for a very honest conversation. It isn't legally binding. It is not a marital contract. It's a relationship contract. They sit down together and they say, okay, what does being in a relationship mean to us individually? What's important to us? And they make sure that they include it in there. And what can be put in the contract to make them feel safe, loved, seen, and cared for? They indicate that there are some benefits into having a relationship contract. And one is honesty. So much of a social contract that build people in their lives are covert. That is to say they're never explicitly talked about. So it's honesty is one, awareness of the partner's needs, communication, clarity and alignment in a person's intentions, arriving versus sliding, and what is your intention in wanting a relationship contract? And what should your contract include? Now, Amy, you know, in these type of things, what we're talking about as dating is, you know, in regards to if things go bad, who should leave their job or who should transfer out? You know, if you want this information, you can go to, and I'm going to give you the website because I'm finding this to be very, very interesting. It's on jordangraycounseling.com. And it says how to write a relationship contract even with examples. Amy, that is interesting. I know the next time I get it, I'm going to make sure I give me a relationship contract. What do you think about that?
I don't know how I feel about that. That's an interest. That's 2019 for you is relationship contract.
You got to. Some food, you know, I get to go out every now and then, you know, I don't know about the casino part because I'm not interested in that part, but, you know, I think want to get me a contract the next time I find me somebody, once my boy ass get here, I'm going to tell him, look, can we get into a contract? It might be a turnoff, but I think I'm going to go for it. So, Amy, we are going to be ending this show, as we're talking about workplace dating, I hope that it was helpful for some of the individuals, especially those that are just now entering into the workplace for the first time. Like, please manage your hormones, and everything is not for you. And if someone is flirting with you and it doesn't feel right or you feel uncomfortable, please report it. Any other information, Amy, you would like to let the listeners know out there that are interested or dealing with workplace dating?
Just check your boundaries. That's about it. Just, you know, check yourself.
Okay. Amy, do you have a topic for next week?
Oh, no, not yet. We'll have to think of one.
So much stuff running through my head, but we'll come up with something. Now, for tomorrow, even though I need to call Brother Blackwell because we've been playing phone tag today, I want to talk about trusting God. Now, on Tuesdays, as many of you know, it's when I do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, and I want to talk about that because that trusting God, because many individuals are struggling with that. So join me next week along with either Pastor Blackwell or who decides to come on and join me as we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And until tomorrow, remember, you got this. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.